Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy. All right, guys, welcome in episode 20 of Coffee and Chell, the Hut podcast. No, we got to get away with this. This is a Chell podcast.
We are not a Hut. This is a Chell podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of. We just center kind around of. Hut. We're very Hut centric. Yeah. It's our base. All right, guys, I'm Sleeves. He's Kesso. It is early. So, this weekend, obviously the Super Bowl, we'll talk about that. Then Monday, Valentine's Day, we'll talk about that. And it's Tuesday, so we are literally recording this at 7 a.m., which is usually we do it at Sunday night. So we apologize for the late upload, but, life and things like that. Let's talk about the Super Bowl real quick. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I just wanted to see a close game.
Yeah, exactly.
And the second half was a little boring.
It was pretty boring, yeah.
Teams couldn't get much going, mm-hmm. but it was nice that it came down to, like, the last two drives, mm-hmm. There were some frustrations. It was dumb to see Eli Apple just single covering Cooper Kupp
for some reason. Bro. Like, just absolutely nuts.
Perrine was out there on the third and one.
Yeah.
And looked like he could have got it, but I'm happy for the Rams. I'm happy for Matt Stafford, dude.
I know, yeah, that's like, what I felt too.
He deserves it. Yeah. Literally, his first year out of Detroit, he goes 4-0 in the playoffs and wins the Super Bowl. Yeah, how'd you feel about the game?
I enjoyed it. I won like $100. I bet like a million. I had like a million prop bets, and like none of them hit. But like I took Rams money line and under 48.5 points. So, like, that hit, and that was basically enough to win me, like, $100, which was nice. It was good.
Wait, let me ask you something about this, though. Okay, so we hosted the Super Bowl, right? And there was probably 10 to 12 people. It wasn't big or whatever. So, as the host, I'm the one ordering the pizza earlier in the day, buying the chips and stuff or whatever. And I feel like I shouldn't have to ask people like, hey, this was X amount of money. Can you Venmo me like 10, 15 bucks, right? There's some people that are like, hey, I'll send you some money, whatever. Then there's the people that come that are always at every single thing that never offer to chip in for anything. And before every single time before they get here, I'm like, oh, I'm going to. Yeah. They're not getting away. They have to send me the $15 or whatever. And every single time I like cowered out of it and I'm like, don't worry about it. And it's just funny. I don't know.
I don't know if maybe this is a different friend base or like there's a pretty big understanding. So I have like a group of friends, like four of us, three of us now, I guess. Wow, man. As you get older, man, three of us.
They all die.
All of our friends, all of my best friends in my group now. Our wives are friends, so about six, usually about eight of us at every event, and it's pretty custom, man. Like, you just pay for it. Like, we don't you order pizza, you supply the booze, but then the next time that it's hosted at one of our, like, we all have houses that we host at, for different.
Yeah.
Like I did Christmas. I did Friendmas, right? I didn't like none of my, it wasn't expected that my friends paid for anything. Cause then like, my buddy, what was it? Oh, my buddy's kid's birthday, which was literally just an excuse for us to like have a few drinks. Cause he'd come over at like 7 PM. You know what I mean? He's one. Yeah. So it's like, he's not going to remember. So he goes to bed and then we just sit there and drink and have some pizza and whatnot. And then I didn't pay for anything. Right. I think it's like, I think like that's like the more customary thing now.
Maybe now I feel like I'm being cheap. We've always like, so me and like the core group of friends, we've always just like split everything no matter what, you know?
Yeah. We're
so
very one person like... take the whole bill.
Okay.
And then it's like the next time you don't pay anything.
All right, don't judge me, people that listen to
this. No, it's
all right.
I mean, it's the exact same. If that is how the standard is at every other event.
The standard is the standard.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I would love to see how you guys in the comments, everyone's going to be like, oh, dude, we never ask for money. We're the, you know what I mean? But
we don't ask, right?
No, you never ask, but there's a standard. Expect it.
There's a standard.
Yeah, you expect it, right? Yeah, no, we don't. Yeah, we're very different like that, I guess, in that sense, which is fine.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? You end up at the same point. Because, like, you know what I mean? You pay when you go, right? Yeah. We don't pay when we go. And then, like, we end up having to host one. And then it's like, I mean, dude, we get together. Me and my friends get together, like, dude, okay, we're trying to host. So for anyone that hasn't played, this is probably the most fun you will have after you've joined the softball team. Your boys have had some kids. Like, this is the most fun that you will have as an adult. Go and get, especially if you need at least five friends, okay, yourself included. You need to get yourself a board of Risk Legacy. It is easily the most fun you'll have as an adult. So everyone knows what Risk is. If you don't, maybe you're from, I don't know if it's big in Europe. I think it's worldwide. I assume Risk is worldwide.
I could see Europe not being
maybe
big
okay.
Into
well,
it.
It's a board game. It's the game of world domination, right? It's a very long game.
Yeah.
you know, and so what Risk Legacy is? It's $80 for the board, right? For the box. And what it is it's one board, and you play 15 games on that board. And while you're playing the 15 games, new stuff will happen, and there's like stickers and stuff that go on the board. So let's say I win game one. Game one is exactly how you would play normal Risk, right? I win game one, I can do a bunch of different things. I can choose to name a continent. So in future games, if I own the continent, I get a +1 bonus. Like I get an extra guy in future games. I can name a like capital city where like only I can start on that for the rest of the games. And then they can get destroyed after you've played like four or five games. I think it's like the big one is once someone has won twice. There's like a big envelope that's like only open when someone's won twice. Like a new faction comes into the game. It's incredible. So, but man, let me tell you. So my buddy just had his second kid. My other friend just had his first. And it's like this group chat trying to figure out the one day that we can get together to play once. It's just like, it's never going to happen, bro. Like, it is just never going to happen. I'm like, okay, whatever. For the most part, I have the least amount of responsibilities, I guess. But because I work or, you know, I have lots of stuff to do that, like, is very difficult. But nonetheless, if you guys have a group of friends, you're over 30. Even if you're not, man, it's a great drinking game. But it's an awesome excuse to, like, be like, oh, I got to go play Risk Legacy. You know, it's 15 games.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing you do this, like, a few years ago or something.
We've played
like pictures or something.
We've gone through two boards. I've won once the first time, and dude, I won the first game and the last board, and I won the last game, and we had to go into a game 16 because everyone had won twice, and it was like a tiebreaker thing. It was messed up, but anyways.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. What do you want to talk about today? This is very loose.
It is very loose. We have to keep it loose. So this weekend, I had my one of my good friends from...
Oh, Valentine's Day, by the way. Oh, but yeah, your buddy came down.
Yeah, my buddy came down. I had played NHL 09 with this guy, right? We played EASHL together. We were teammates. And he came over because this one band, Goose, was coming to Pittsburgh. And I'm like, hey, stay at my house for a couple of days. Like, we'll do stuff around Pittsburgh or whatever. So it was very interesting because we had never met before. But it was just like old friends just hanging out because we had played sixes together for the, you know, 13 years, man. It was pretty cool. And it's really interesting to think that, like, this guy knew me when I was, like, 14. And, like, I was just talking shit on Xbox Live parties. And I'm, like, a different person now. And he's known me longer than my wife and stuff. But it was a fun weekend. Like, you know, we just did some touristy stuff around Pittsburgh. And, like, you know, went to some breweries and stuff. But it was a good weekend.
That's cool, man. It's funny when, like when you get into this community, I see guys or talk to guys in this community more than I talk to my like in life, real life friends. Not the like now they're real life friends. Like Cam and you, I talk to more than like my best friend, just because like that's what goes on with life. You know what I mean? Like it's just, you know what I mean? As you get older and more kids happen, that's usually just how it goes, right? But it's crazy how this game, man, like I saw it firsthand. I mean, I guess it's a nice little segue. No, first we need to talk about Valentine's Day. What did you do for Valentine's Day?
So we are delaying ours, right? So I booked a couples massage on the 25th, and then it's like at like this resort. So we're going to do that. So on Valentine's Day, which was last night, right? I had to go over to my grandparents' house. Mm-hmm. So we went over to my grandparents' house just to help them with some stuff. So we're going to celebrate on the 25th.
Okay. So I mean, I hate Valentine's Day. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's literally just, it's just a made up holiday to make you spend money, which is fine. Yeah. And then, like the pressure of it, because you have to, have you ever gone all out on Valentine's Day?
I don't think I've ever gone like, you know, balls to the wall, like all out.
Like had flowers delivered and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. And I've done that outside of Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's a first year thing, brother. I mean, I haven't. I've done that, but that was when we were dating.
No, dude, I had flowers delivered. It was like, so my wife's a teacher.
Yeah.
And I think I had flowers delivered on like National like Teacher Day or something like a couple of years ago. That's the way it is. Yeah. You gotta crush it sometimes, you know. You gotta do some nice things, and most of the reason why, I'm not gonna lie, it's to make the other people feel bad.
Yeah, I love that part. I love that part because you know the pictures going like, out there. I go to my buddy. I'm like, hey, yo, how's it going? What are you doing? That's funny, yeah. Because then you know they're gonna talk. You know what I mean? Like
exactly. Bro. So did you do anything for Valentine's Day?
All right, let me tell you this. So we don't get to go out very often. COVID. Oh, also
you can.
Yeah. So in Ontario, you know, maybe we try not to be political here, but COVID restrictions are just gone. March 1st, the government decided that like, oh, I guess enough time has passed. 2 weeks ago, we were on lockdown, but. In another 2 weeks, everything's good to go. Magically, we're all saved. Dude, the politics in this province, in this country, eye-opening. But nonetheless, so I guess they're just ending everything. Mask mandate. That's good. I guess the mask mandate, I think, is staying in effect. But, like, you don't have to be vaccinated. Like, not that. Like, we have 90% double vaccinated. You know, and everything's open. There's no limit restrictions. Like, right now, the gym and restaurants, 50%, like, capacity. Like it's just nuts.
And it was at 25%.
Yeah, it was 25% all the way. Like
that's like nothing though. Like 25%. I remember whenever it COVID just started here and things were like 25%. That's like 8 people.
Dude, the worst. Let me tell you. So like, we've had so many lockdowns. One of them at the worst was okay. Everything's open, but the max people inside is 10. So like, I went to one of the biggest and probably the best gyms in terms of like. The amount of equipment, the size, everything. And dude, they have 5,000 members. They would book 72 in advance, and you would literally have to spam the book button to try and get in. But it was like a lottery. So I was like, nope, not doing this. Like, absolutely. Yeah. It was nuts. It was just a terrible system. But no, so we went out for... We went out for dinner, this really nice restaurant in... it's called Bricks and Barley, I think it's called. And it's like they make like wood oven pizza, like, you know, and it's in Niagara on the Lake. So for anyone that's, you know, you come to Niagara, they shout out to Rumpel State in Niagara. Like, it's wine country. I also play. That's where I play baseball.
Love Rumpel.
Yeah, Rumpel, dude. Yeah. Rumpel, he is the classic. He is what I was before I started streaming. He literally is just at work and just bounces around the NHL community streams. That is legitimately what I would do. I would stream until like noon, then I'd go to work, and I would just be in like Louis or Sod Street, just bouncing around.
Well, dude, you were living it, man, because you loved it. Like so excited and stuff.
I did love it.
So the pizza was good.
So I didn't even get pizza. I got fish and chips because whatever, right? Okay. My wife did. She got a personal pizza. But here's the issue. So we don't go out very often. I just gotten back from Florida. We'll talk about that in a second. And we went out for dinner. We decided to go for dinner. Skyla took Summer for a walk, and then we put her in her crate. And so she was tired. Put her in her crate. Dude, the Furbo she decided this. I'm not sleeping. I'm not allowing this to be in my cage. Bro, ruined the whole time. We were out for dinner for 45 minutes. She managed to get the crate cover rip it, like she got the front of it, like got managed to get her big snout through the cage, through the crate like hole, grabbed the cover and just yanked, pulled the whole front cover clear off the thing. And just so we got home and the whole thing looks like it like imploded on itself.
Yeah.
So she it was a disaster, right? We didn't enjoy it because the fur was going off like every 10 seconds. She knocked the camera off that we have in the crate. We thought she ate it.
Oh, so
like, I got home and we're just like, this is a mess, man. I can't wait. I love my dog. But I can't wait until it's like, you know, she doesn't have to be in her crate. We can trust her. Oh, you know, she's 8 months old now. And we're at the point where we're like, man.
Hey, come on, grow up.
Yeah, like, let's get it here. Yeah, because she's so smart. Bro, let me tell you this, man. I was talking in Henry's Discord about, like, dogs and whatnot the other night. And it's funny because, like, German Shepherds are, like, among the top three breeds in terms of intelligence and loyalty. But they're also, like, the top three in aggression, which is why, like, you know, you have to be pretty attentive. That's why we didn't get a male, because males require, A, just to be outside all the time. You know, we both work from home. We both work, you know, pretty lengthy jobs, and didn't want to have to deal with like the male part of it. But dude, she's just like a 70-pound puppy. Like, she doesn't understand she's a puppy, or that she's as big as she is. She thinks she's a puppy. Well, she is. I mean, she's 8 months old, right? So we're just, I can't wait until she can just lie in my bed. You know, like that's, I've had it maybe twice where I've been sitting on the couch and she put her head on my lap and like, She just doesn't sit still very often, so it's coming.
And that's the best thing, yeah. You know, that's what you
I'll tell you this, I came home from Florida, and there is nothing like, see, here's the difference between cats and dogs. You come home, you haven't been home for a couple days, and her tail's just wagging, she's whining and crying, jumping, I was like, oh man, like it hit. It was nice.
Well, that's the difference between pigs and dogs, too. You know, Henry wouldn't even care, but like, whenever I come
home, he doesn't oink like, and get Bella. His little tail going when he sees you?
Not really. He might acknowledge me a little bit and do like a like that, but that is it. That is the max I get. But like Bella, I leave for an hour and I come home and she's like, it's like I was like off to war or something. She's so excited.
Dude, has she hit the has she found someone she's more attached to? It won't take long.
I feel like it's slightly me, but she really likes both of us. And the only reason it would be me a little bit is just because I work from home.
Oh, because she doesn't work from home late.
No, so my wife's...
Oh, yeah, I didn't know if like, she was, like, in, yeah, in Canada, like, well, doing...
Well, yeah, for... Oh, you guys are still doing online school?
For the most part, yeah.
Ah, that's crazy to me. Because, like, she's been in person for, like, a year now.
Brother, we're 2 hours away, and my God, is it different.
Yeah, that's crazy, because it's like... I feel bad for... not that this is, like, a crazy serious discussion, but, like, this has to be a long-term, like, toll on these kids.
Oh, dude, it's going to sound really dumb for, you know, a lot of the adult... I mean, I feel like our viewer base is probably pretty old, but just think about it for a second. Go back in time. The people that lost out on grade 11 and 12, like, those were some of the most fun... Those are the last 2 years... where you really have no responsibility in life and there's no outside pressure in terms of like, you need to get your shit together. You know, you basically, your only responsibility is to pass, you know, like that's it.
Yeah.
Like I'll never forget. Like one of the best days of my life was my grad party. And for whatever reason, there's lots of cliques in my, you know, my high school. And we had a party out on the outskirts of Niagara at this one girl's house, like farmhouse. And it was like, my entire graduating class, no clicks. It was just a huge bonfire, a huge sound system.
That is so rare.
It was something like, I remember getting there and being like, dude, like the nerds were there, you know, like the athletes. Yeah. Like I was just like, there was like 50 tents. Like it was something else. And for the people that like didn't get prom and didn't get like, did you go to prom, by the way?
Dude, you want to hear something? I can do.
You know what? I'm so down on Hutt. If you've watched streams, I don't. Dude, we're getting into Hutt, and you know, you guys listen. Story time. All right.
Yeah. So I went to I grew up kind of near the hood, but like not in the hood, but like near it, like the area
near the Heinz factory. I've stayed on both sides of Pittsburgh, and like let me tell you, that was not an enjoyable place to get an Airbnb.
So. I grew up in like Stowe Township in Pittsburgh. Okay. And we have like Paul Spadafora was like this amateur boxer. He was from there. He was like the next great like boxer in like, I think, the featherweight division. But then he went crazy, drugs, like beat his like girlfriend at a gas station. Wow. We had Mancini's Bakery, which is in McKees Rocks. That was a great thing. But other than that, everything sucks from there. So like my grandparents raised me, like, you know, she worked. She sent me to like a good like private school.
Okay.
But we struggled paying tuition those Catholic schools.
Oh, you're like the one who's in there. You're smart. You're at a private school, but like you're the one that's, you know, your family's like got to work a couple jobs or whatever. All that goes
through
it.
Dude, I did not fit in at the school whatsoever. High school was terrible.
That's like every drama show ever. You're like, that's a Gossip Girl. That's like the story of Gossip Girl.
Yeah. So like I didn't fit in at all whatsoever. But I remember leading in the prom and then also graduation my senior year. If you owed tuition, if your family owed tuition, you couldn't do those things. So I asked this one girl to prom and she said yes. I don't know why she would say yes to me, especially me in high school. But then the principal's like, if you know, you can't do these things if your family owes tuition. So I was like, hey, listen, I can't go. Like, I'm literally not allowed. So then graduation comes and he's like, you're not allowed to walk and accept the diploma if your family owes tuition. So I remember, I forget if it was a Saturday or Sunday. So I'm like, I'm just, you know, F this school, you know, whatever. Like, I can't go anyway. So he calls my grandmother. I forget if it was a Saturday or Sunday. Graduation's at like 9 or 10 a.m. He calls her at like 8 a.m. and he's like, hey, I have a cap and gown here for Brian if he wants to come down. And I wish I would have answered the phone because I wanted to say, like, F you. Like, there's no chance. I remember just sleeping through it and, like,
really,
I was like,
man,
I'm out of here anyway.
That makes me sad, yeah, but, like, that sucks. Like, that, A, that
dude,
does.
Because I was like, if you guys are going to do that to me, no, I don't want to go. Yeah. Like,
well, good for you for, like, having that. Like, because now I feel bad because, like, those were two of, like,
oh, yeah, you're sitting here talking about your great experience. Like, dude, it was so
prom was not
so
a good experience. So, like, I was with, like, my I got to go with, like, my first real girlfriend. So it's not like I asked someone and, like, you know, whatever. It was my first, like, real girlfriend. We dated for, like, 2 years out of, like, high school. And she got sick, like, immediately in the first after party. Like, so, like, she wasn't there, like, but she was with me on grad. Like, the grad party was way better than prom. But, like, I remember prom, like, dude, I remember doing Soulja Boy with, like, four buddies that we weren't friends. But it came on. I have this great picture. Maybe I'll throw it up on Twitter. It might be the most embarrassing picture I have. And it's, like, four of us in the front of, like, 300 people doing Soulja Boy because for whatever reason I knew the exact choreography. Not that it was really...
Well, that was... So, you're 2 years older than me. Or three, maybe.
90.
And I remember my freshman year was like Soulja Boy, so that lines up perfectly.
Yeah, dude, that was huge when it's time. Okay, let's talk about NHL. I feel... Actually, you know what? I want to hear, first of all, in the comment section, if you be honest, ruthlessly honest, this is the longest intro we've ever done. And honestly, it's just me and you talking, which is my favorite part and probably selfishly part of the reason why we started this podcast, because we just wanted to talk. So, like, I want to hear if you were like, you know, I really didn't enjoy it. I listen for NHL. That's fine. You know, there's a lot of you out there that are like, no, you guys talk. I'm here all the time. I want to hear the honest criticisms and feedback. All right. Don't go out of your way. But if you literally were skipping through this 20 minutes, I want to know and I want to see the ratio of it. So, all right, let's talk about this weekend in sense. We'll start with, this is Chell related. I went to Florida, the first LAN since the last LAN, which was it's the first 1v1 LAN since the last Tampa Bay event in 2020. Technically, it's not the last LAN event because the Caps was 2 weeks after that, the 6v6 event. But as the first 1v1 event in person, man, did it feel different actually communicating with human beings in the community? But B, I'm in a little different spot than I was 2 years ago where I was bright-eyed. I didn't, you know what I mean? Had no idea if I was going to make this a career. Which definitely changed my perspective on things. So for anyone that doesn't know, guys, the Tampa Bay Lightning put on a 1v1 esports event for $7,500 prize pool. Europeans, the staple of the Bolts is that they include Europeans. So Eki, you guys all know Eki, and Hanzalino, they won for Finland or Europe, and they flew them in to compete this weekend. And then Polgs and Jose, who is probably unknown to pretty much everyone outside of the competitive community, outside of Polgs, I think a lot more people are... Polgs, I'm going to say it right now. You and Polgs, have the biggest, I don't want to say shot. You two would be my pick to be the next directory leaders, and I think that you two are the, and I'll tell you why, YouTube. So anyways, Polgs ends up winning. Congrats to Polgs if you're listening. But man, was it different. I'll give you guys I'll have a vlog coming out. I'm really bad at it, part of me, whenever I go to events, my favorite part about probably my entire business is networking. And it's just my favorite thing. So when I'm at events, I'll give you a perfect example of the reason why Nasher is how big he is. When I'm at events, I kind of turn off everything in terms of social media, which is not very good. You know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things, for business, I usually just hyper focus on the event and talking to people I should talk to, hanging out with people that I don't get the chance to. I don't really, I'm not very good at remembering to tape things and, get interviews. I usually just staying in the moment. Whereas I went to Columbus in December and hung out with Nasher. We were all at the game. Dude, at the game, my phone was away. Not that it was rude. It's just, again, it's how I am. And I was with Junior Pens and Grizz and Davos and Cookie. And he made three TikToks, two Snapchats, an Instagram. And I'm watching him, not saying it. I'm like, good, there is a reason why you are who you are. So yeah. Now, I like to learn from people that do better than me. So I'm going to vlog it. I didn't buy a new camera. I just used my iPhone for the most part. I'm going to give it to Tyler. He's going to work his magic, my editor, and see if we can put together a nice video so you guys can see everything behind the scenes. But man, was it different. We got there. I flew in with Grizz from Grizz Goal, the guy who did the play-by-play, who did a phenomenal job. I made him turn and made sure that he was at the every event possible because I couldn't do events anymore because monetarily, for the most part, I did every esports event and it just, I don't want to say I make more money if I stream as opposed to doing theirs, but that's kind of where it is. And not to mention, I would just literally never get to do anything else. So
no, because you'd be doing every
that's
event.
What happened in 20
sixes event every
it's
week,
what happened yeah. in 2021, 2020 and 2021, that winter. And I got so burnt out. So anytime there's an event that's season long, I was like, Grizz, you need to do this. And now he's definitely going to be the next, full-time commentator. He's so good at it. Whereas I just love hosting. So I try to become, and hosting does take a unique skill because you can't have any, you're the one that's in charge of no dead air, making sure the conversation keeps going, going into transitions where you're getting your ad reads done, and I get nervous doing it, but I enjoy it the most. I think I think I'm pretty good at it, so I do enjoy that. So that's kind of what I did, and I did color for this event. He did the play by play, and yeah, man, I didn't go out with the guys on the Saturday night. Something was wrong with me, man. I am tired all the time, bro. Someone in chat thinks it might be a thyroid thing because I'm old, and maybe that's I'm going to the doctor this week because this is different. This isn't exhaustion. This is I was yawning and tired, even though I was extremely nervous when I was doing the event, which is such an odd thing because usually when you're nervous, your adrenaline spikes to the roof and you're raring to go. And I'm just after I end my streams, I'm going to bed. So I literally went out for dinner. The event ended at 4, went great. Tampa Bay put on an amazing event. Production was unbelievable.
It looked like a
Full Sail University. Full Sail University. Rare Drop has a good relationship with them. They're the producers of the event. It's the second time. So the last event was at Full Sail. And it's where the WWE NXT used to be. And so why it's so good is that it's literally a full class of university kids in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So it was great. We had a full production in my ear. We had the big cameras that went through the whole, place. We had a couple people in attendance. I hated the whole shot showing the crowd because it's always lame because there's 12 people there. But it's COVID, right? You know what I mean? You can't jam them in. It's an easy NHL event. But Uninstall came, Own the Blue came, Jose's dad came, who's literally just Omer. It's hilarious for anyone that knows him.
Omer Goat.
Yeah, Omer Goat.
Isn't that the hashtag?
Yeah, dude, his dad is exactly the same as him. So it was nice, but I didn't get to, my one regret is after I went out for dinner at 5 with Grizz, we had a beer, and I went back to the thing. I was out until 10:30 at night. I just pass right out. Like, I don't know what's wrong. I hate napping. I hate sleeping because I just feel like I accomplish nothing. And Grizz texts me like, hey, Eki and all the you guys are in Grizz's room, or I mean, Polgs's room. We're hanging out talking. And I'm just like, you know what, man, enjoy it. I felt obviously they were, the NA guys were all like under 21. So I felt a little, you know, I'm like, no, man, you guys, yeah. You know, it was the first time they all got to meet and hang out. So I was like, no, I didn't want to. You know, so it was different because I remember the events before COVID. I was like, yo, let's hang out all the time. Like, you know what I mean? I was very one to be in. And I felt, it was very different. But the event went good. I saw some plays and things that we should discuss.
Okay.
In terms of like the actual gameplay. So Polgs wins. Eki loses to Jose after. So, dude, Eki wins 5-0 game one, and he was toying with him. Dude, it looked like a cat and a mouse, bro. Like, he was doing kick deeks near the end, just, like, messing around with him. And I was like, oh, my God. And Joe's just like someone who's never been on a LAN or competed in a real biggie before. And this was really what it is. So he was, dude, he's drinking the water, and it's just like, you could just see it on him, right? And that's normal, bro. Like, I've competed in a LAN event before, and it's, like, you know, extremely nerve-wracking. I'm sure when you did GWC, like, you know, the controller's shaking, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And then you get into the game and it's whatever, right? So game two happens.
Yeah, whenever you get into the game, usually you're good.
And game two happens, and good on Jost because Eki just could not score game two and three. He forced a game three, and he shut him out in game three, and good for him. Stunning. But something about Polgs, the EU-NA style, I guess we'll talk about that first. Far different play styles. And
completely different. Yeah,
and NA people hate EUs for no reason. It's like the console wars. It's so funny. I was reading chat the whole time, and man, when Polgs gave it to Hanzalino, and the NA guys were just feeding it in the chat to the European, you know, people that were watching, and I love it personally. I think it's hilarious. I think it's great for events. I think it's great for the community. I mean, don't go personal, you know, but I love it. And then Eki beats up on Jose in game one, and all the Finns and the EUs are giving it to the NA guys in chat. I loved it.
Yeah.
And but the play styles, so different. So if you watch the Hanzalino Polgs game, you really noticed it. Hanzalino did what people would consider a skill zone. And, you know, I want to talk a bit about that because when you watch Eki and Hanzalino play, at least the European, they use the strategies in the game as opposed to the mechanics that you can do. So what I mean by that is, like, if you watch Polgs and Jose and Own the Blue and all the, and Gren, they do a lot of deeks and thumb skill stuff. The stuff that you show on, you know, you're a mix of both, but you love finding new wraps and shots that'll mess with the goalie, right? Whereas the EUs don't do that. They are looking for the, it would be what you would consider like the closest thing to real hockey, right? Like if you were to describe the two, because they don't really go for glitch goals or those kinds of things. And they're very passive on defense. And I think people were like, all they do is skill zone and whatnot. If you were playing against other top European players, you have to with how they play, because all they do is pass the puck. There is no way to play manual defense by passing the puck for a full game, right? Like that, because you just pull someone out of position and they're passing it a million times. And like I said, Eki specifically has like a master class of like what behind the net overload and crash the net does. And it was fun to watch.
Watching him play all the time where it's like every pass is like,
it's deliberate. That's how I described it.
Yeah. Everything's deliberate. I think that's the best way to describe
like
it.
Even his zone entries, bro, he won the face off and it was literally six passes before he went up. And I'm just like, he's one touching the whole time. And I'm like, oh my God, bro. There's no way to like click on a player fast enough. So Hanzalino skill zoning the first 5 minutes. Again, that's what they're used to, right? They don't play these guys. They never play these guys. And the first thing Polis does is this goes behind the net and he L2s and he's weaving back and forth. And Hanzalino's not chasing behind the net because, you know, skill zoning is staying in front, making sure that, you know, nothing's open in front. And he's going back and forth. And this winger just comes trickling in from the corner and he does this behind the back pass and the goalie is stuck on the right post. And I was like, okay, I've seen it a couple times. I think it's like it is definitely the most pro goal Because it's not
and that's the Pogues goal.
Yeah, that is the Pogues goal. Yes,
for like over a year now.
I've seen Regs do it now. A lot of the top end guys do it, and it's not a glitch. I mean, I guess it's technically a glitch because he's getting the goaltender stood on the right side, but it's definitely difficult to get into place. And that winger he's using behind the net. Like he's making, because it's the only way that you can do that is with behind the net, because the winger does not come down enough. He scores a goal on Hanzelino, dude, a minute later in game time. So like 12 seconds in real life, does the exact same goal. But I will say this, the Finns are extremely good at adjusting. I think that's why Ekki's so good, is that he's very good at, I saw in Ekki's series, he changed his strategies like every faceoff.
Oh, really?
That's interesting. Yeah, like but that's always been his thing. He figures out what you're doing, and then he basically uses what's in the game to eliminate what, you know, it's like the Bill Belichick thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he might not have the best team, but like, he'll take away what you're best at.
Yeah.
And so Anzalino didn't allow that goal ever again. Like, he kept switching manually and making sure that wasn't there. And Pogues didn't score that goal again. But it's just very interesting to see. And then Pogues ends up winning big. Hanzelino's offense, like, they're not used to getting pressured. So I would say North Americans play almost impatiently and extremely aggressive. Yeah. And Ekki feasted on Jost when he did it in game one. And then in game two, he wasn't chasing. He was, he wasn't skill zoning, but he was playing really aggressive at like the blue line. So he was having a hard time getting into the offensive zone. And Ekki just couldn't score after that. And so the North American guys move on. And then Pogues and Joe's play so similar that it was like 0-0 most of the game. And I had a feeling that's what happened, is they're both so creative with the puck. You think that when you get two guys like that, you know, they'll score a lot. The score will be really high. They know exactly how it literally looked like game one. I think Pogues won 1-0. It literally looked, the rush would go and all of the half spins and what they were doing, and they would turn the puck over and go the other way. Almost a mirror image of what the other person just did. It was it was funny to see in that sense.
What I've always found so interesting about the NA versus EU style is it's like the complete opposite of like real life, where it's like when in the NHL you assume like a, you know, European player is a little bit flashier.
Yeah, like you get like a Russian like player and things like that. Yeah,
you get a Russian player, they're doing like toe drags and stuff, whatever. And like I always think like Canadians and US, like in real life,
dump
and
chase, gritty. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but like it's complete opposite in the video game.
Yeah, it's wild. And like I said, so all the NA people are just harping on them for skill zoning. It's like, dude, if you watch like five games of top Europeans play, it is far better in terms of the strategies in game. You know, I don't think
now, go ahead. I think this is a reason why, and I'm not saying like North American players are better, because I don't think there's a better one or the other, but I think North Americans have had more success whenever they've played each other. Well,
first of all, there's way more players. You know what I mean? Yes, like, so it's that, like, you know, people don't want to recognize that. You know what I mean? But like, yes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's the EU players might have a more difficult time adjusting to that, just because they're not used to playing like glitchier things, like the wraparounds and stuff. Like I remember, and this doesn't even compare to what Pogues did and Jost did, because it's a live LAN, but whenever I qualified for that Washington tournament a few years back, I had to play like five EU players in a row, and they all skill zoned, so I literally lived behind the net doing like wraparounds and stuff, because like not many of those players did those things.
It was just
all passing.
And it's crazy to see, because like the play styles can be so different, because you think like there's only one way to play this game, right? But you never play each other. Like you can't, because you can't play, you can't play Europeans, right? And you never play on land. So it is far different. Like it was really cool to watch that. I think that, I mean, this will transition to another talk part, but I think this year, there is not as much anyone out of the top players can win. So what I mean by that is like in the past, we'll talk about NA first, right? Because like it has essentially been, no matter what, whether it's Hutt versus whatever, it has been pretty understood the last like three GWCs, like Game World Championships, that like Regs and Gren would be at the top. Like you would, kind of expected. And what's crazy is that usually is how it goes. Like, so you take away everyone that's like, oh, Hutt is whoever has the best team. Regs always has an awful team because he didn't spend money. And they end up getting there, right? Because at the end of the day, it's whoever's better 9 out of 10 times will win. And especially when it gets to the versus play, right? I feel like this year, I'm going to use my own experience. Like, whether it's the superpowers from, like, post to post, which I think is now, I thought was cool, and I thought X-Factors made it fresh, legitimately ruining the game, because it impacts the game so hard that there are times where it takes over the game. It is the reason why you win, and things like that. But, you know, I think this year it's if you get like the top 10 players in the world, any one of them can win, and doesn't really necessarily mean the best player wins every time. And I think you're going to see in the GWC, man, like a lot, like some, like the top. So the top four last year was Josh, Gren. Oh my God. Regs and Cat. And Cat. Yeah. I would be willing to bet that two of those four, it's not them. And it's like, wow. You know?
I agree completely.
Because this year's, this year, it's like, I talk about this all the time. Like, how many games have you won or lost where you've tripled TOA shots as well, and you just cannot beat goal post to post, or, you know, and like,
yeah, because it's like in those big games, you're only getting two or three
golden chances,
high quality chances, and there's an X factor in there that's gonna stop those half the time.
It's you know, I don't think it's good for competitive play. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch the game of World Championships, because
hey, if it was up to me, X Factor's turned off for GWC.
It's funny, but because they can't in HUT, because like,
right, but they could say like, hey, zero AP allocated.
No.
Right?
What I'm saying is no. I'm not saying they can't like in game. I'm saying like, you've spent all year building your team based on this is the problem with the game world championship. There's no communication, but you've spent your entire team. Like, if they were like right now, they come out and they're like, no, there is no X factors allowed, even in the qualifier stage. Like, let's say you can't go into the online qualifying for top 32. It doesn't allow you if you have X factors on, right? Dude, how many people are ditching, like, spending 500K on, you know, Carlo and Bomeister and Burns and going to get Dougie Hamilton? Because he's 6'6" and doesn't have, exactly. And like, so that's not really fair. The game is meant to be played. And not to mention just like the way that you play is really heavily influenced by some of these X factors. Right. So I don't think that's fair. It just goes to like the whole problem with HUT as a whole this year. I don't know if we want to get it. I mean, like, dude, I'm so negative. I'm trying not to be negative.
Yeah, so it was funny because I'm not going to go into questions right now. Okay. But there was a thing, a comment I had from your YouTube channel. Austin Steger had mentioned, because it ties into what you just said here. Honestly, it's a bummer listening to these podcasts. I'm a squad battles guy because I love diving into the game of hockey and learning how to score and finding new ways. HUT isn't all about rivals and competitive play. Play Fortnite and COD. It's for hockey lovers. I love you guys and love your feedback. It's a very small player base, so I don't expect much. Hearing you guys complain is getting old. That's where I wanted to bold that, but I had it open up in Notepad.
No, respect.
Hearing you guys complain is getting old.
I think it's because we don't have a lot of talk about, you know, in terms of new stuff, right? Like,
well, that's why we spent 25 minutes talking about
like, we play the game an amount that is not meant to be played. This game is not meant to, I've talked about this before too on my Twitch channel, like, it's not meant to be played this much. Any sports game. I think it's just a problem in the gaming industry. I talk about this a lot on stream, is that like, games are now meant to give you an addiction where like, you need to feel like you need to get better. You need to feel like you're a pro player. You know, I don't go into a new game without the expectation that I'm going to grind this game. And that's a majority.
Dude, that's why I don't play any games, right? So, like, I only play NHL. Like, I have games that's, like, NHL. And then there's, like, casual games like Stardew Valley with my wife or, like, Overcooked. But I can't play a competitive game without, like, how am I going to be the best? Is there a tournament
for this game? Dude, like, Halo came out and the nostalgia kicked in. And I'm starting to play with Cookie and some of the guys my high school friends I got into a lobby where it was the team I competed in MLG in 2008 with. And I hadn't heard from two of my buddies. My one friend, it was literally my wedding party. He's one of my best friends. And I stayed in touch. But the other two, I haven't. But he has. And he's like, yo, one second, I got us two. And we got in that lobby, and they started talking. And it literally just like, oh, like it hit me. But then I'm like, all right, does everyone know the call outs? Like, yo, we gotta cap this flag. I'm looking at like my rank. I'm like, dude, I'm just grinding it. And then, you know, I realized like I don't have the time to play other games to become better. And I think that's like a major drain on like the community. I think that a lot of you, I've talked about this before. We talked about this in an episode that was like, we were like, you know, if you're not good, accept that you're not good. You know, I mean, like, take a loss. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be like that. I think that all, like, the Steeg, I think it's the Steegs from Twitch. I think that, like, you know, the people that play offline, first of all, I don't understand. We don't understand how you do that. Honest to God. So, like, the way that you play the game, we don't understand how you do that. You enjoy it far different than we do, which is awesome. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm glad that there isn't just guys out there that are obsessed with winning and like having the best team. And you know what I mean? Like that's probably so relaxing. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
probably
if you're
is.
Just playing squad battles, you don't need to have a good team. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's just fun. But yeah, like video games as a whole are just not meant to be played this much. And NHL has so little, which we talk about all the time, that, you know, if I would say the max that you could play this game is maybe 10 hours a week.
And I think I'm right around there too.
10 hours a week would be you're playing champs and maybe like 5 rivals games. I don't even know if you could know you're playing champs.
10 hours a week, you can get champs in about 15 rivals.
Really? A game is 20 minutes.
There's like quits sometimes. Champs usually takes me 7 hours. Stream it because I stream every game, right? And I usually stream about 7 hours a week, so I can see that. So champs is 7 hours, and then a few hours on rivals.
I guess that's right.
And you can get like 15, maybe. You know,
it's just like, it's starting to wear on me because I've mentioned this a lot. That like this is the worst I've been. You know, and maybe that's just because I'm getting older, or the game I did not, you know, adapt. You know, it's just why I have a bad.
Yeah.
I am just I think a lot of the negativity, at least for me, man, is for Steegs. I do apologize that we are negative on the game. We are hypercritical because we want the game to be good and we have a outlet to talk to the developers. And a lot of it, we're just kind of let down. You know, not that they're not trying and things like that, but it's tougher when you have an outlet and an ability to speak to someone who can change the game and you're just not seeing it. Not that they aren't receptive to our feedback. We have lots of really good conversations with the developers. It's just like, you know, like Rivals leaderboards. You know, we've been talking about that since they took it out, right? It's just not in there. You know, it's very difficult to play this game for a long time. So, like, let me ask you this. This is a new type of conversation here. What would make you, like, if let's say they, what do you think is the one thing that would make you play the game, allow the game to be played more?
You already have a competitive mode, which is great.
MLB doesn't.
I think since you already have the competitive mode, it would just be like a BR thing to do like Monday through Thursday, right?
I thought about that.
Some kind of stream content. And you think that's not
well, like, I'm trying to think as like a whole, not just a streamer. I agree. I think BR is probably the way to go, especially, but I didn't play BR. I don't play BR at all really in MLB because it's kind of the competitive mode. Right. It'll be interesting when the new like there is a new competitive mode coming to MLB, which is amazing. It's the one thing that's lacking. But in NHL, I think it's like a hardcore way to collect cards. I think that is what would allow you to grind the game to at least, you know, if like imagine trying to complete the collections, like collecting every Niagara Ice Dog would get you a Petrangelo. Yeah. You know, like, I think, like, that is where if they really overhauled the, you know, that system and the way that that's done, I think that would add a lot more playability week to week. Obviously, need more modes. Like, we harp on that all the time. They need more modes and things to play. But that probably isn't realistic. Like, it's just not. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Not without cross-console.
Yeah, if cross-console doesn't come next year, we're... I mean, hopefully it does. Like, and I think that it will. I'll be honest with you. We don't have any insight if it's happening or not. But I still don't think that cross console fixes the issues, though. Like, cross console allows them to fix the issues, right?
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that the when cross console comes, I have no faith that it will actually work. And I don't think anyone listening to this does. Like, you have no faith that it'll work. And even with MLB, it had an issue. Like, there were issues early on. Like, I remember the server issues, they would go down for like 8 hours at a time, like where you just could not play. So like there's that, but like, I think the game after probably that has cross console where they can put in new modes because they don't have to worry about the player base being too small. That's where it's going to be. That's going to be pretty tough. But let's talk about the new HUT cards.
Yeah, so we have rankings to go over, right? And I'm assuming you did a video on this.
I did it with Eki. I did it with Eki. Okay, Eki ranked them.
Yeah, so I will rank my new MSPs. And this ranking was hard because they were all similar.
This is a very... I think so. This is Hawk and the boys realizing that the first week maybe a little overpowered and they went hella safe.
Yeah.
Which, and to be honest, I actually think... they made them completely different, which is great. It's just the first week was like the meta and cards to be excited about. Whereas this week, bigger names or more recognizable names and like different than the meta, which I don't think is bad. It's just like as like us are much less excited. So,
yeah. So number five, I have Fiala.
Yep, that's easy.
All right. Number four. And I honestly, 1 through 4 could probably be interchanged.
Yeah.
I have Nikas.
I believe I do too.
Okay. Number three, I have Werenski.
Yeah, I think I had Petro.
Okay. Number two, I have Tarasenko.
Oh, what in the world?
Number one, I have Petro.
Why?
Petro's 6'3, Werenski's 6'2. Let's see. Petro's card. He can get up, I think, to like 95 Excel. He has, and then with Bombarded, he has like 99 Slapshot Power, 94 Accuracy. His abilities are intriguing, too.
Well, they're all offensive.
They are, right? So I do have a thing that I think I'm going to try to do towards GWC. And I'm trying it out now. It's that I went 20-0 in Hot Champs this weekend. Actually played some great competition, by the way, Sleeve. So the whole entire I don't play anybody out the window is gone.
Yo, 16 games against, Dad Dan. I mean, all right, good.
And 4 games against great players, right? So I turned shutdown off again. I played with it off in the past. I used it because it was 2 points. I'm like, you know what? My defense is amazing. I don't need to use shutdown. So I just turned off gold shutdown again. So as we move towards GWC, it's so hard to get those chances around the net that I think these defensemen with the gold 1T, gold seeing eye, I said it earlier in the year, and then it just wasn't working. I think at some point, these are going to be the defensemen to use. I do. So, like, this Petro card with the gold seeing eye, like, I'm thinking that that's probably really good. I'm going to try it out soon. I have gold 1T on my Shea Theodore, and it's so hard to get offense from anywhere. It might be those point shots with, like, the gold 1T or gold seeing eye that'll work. So I think in GWC, especially on my left-handed defenseman, I'm probably going to rock one of the gold abilities on them just to get that extra offense.
I like the thought of it. I don't know how you could have that over your entire... So, all right, so shutdown is not the end-all be-all, but it is clearly effective.
It's effective. I agree with you, yeah.
Like, I don't know how my entire defensive core having shutdown as opposed to one player having one player. Like, that's where it's tough for me to.
Yeah, and it's.
Now, we both agree that there's going to be ability point changes. And they will it'll be unannounced, and it will come probably the day before GWC. And if that happens, like, let's say shutdown goes to 6.
You're going to still see people using them because
there has not been an offensive X factor that is like, my God, you need that activated.
It's hard because there's,
I feel like no one's tried them to a point.
Well, dude, there's not enough variety in the offensive X factor gold abilities.
It's very, very neat, like specific,
because it's like there hasn't been like a card come out with like gold snipe or something where it's like, oh, I wonder, you know, about trying them. They all have like born leader or they have wheels or they have something else. And it's like you can't really try out these gold zone abilities on good cards.
I think also, sure, it'll light up. But you don't see, like, so close quarters, for example, I don't know what an animation of close quarters looks like.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
there's no. But are there any cards with gold close quarters?
There's a few. I think Ray Ferraro has it early on.
That doesn't.
No, but you used him early on, like at launch of the game.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, and there's a lot of people that say close quarters is great. I think that's a sixes thing. That's what.
That is a sixes thing. Apparently, that's the ability to use as a forward.
It's because you shoot for the pads. Like you shoot, like you. That's like the meta. You can't really score DDD one timer, so you shoot pads. And then everyone has.
And then the people who pick up the puck close to the net with close quarters.
Because you can control where you are in the sixes. So, like, you can just sit down there as opposed to where in Hutt, you're firing low pads looking for a rebound. Like, that's, you know, like, it's very difficult to have your player just there. You know what I mean? But, like, and I know a lot of people in the comments are going to be like, yo, I love Make It Snappy or Schnipe. And it's like, I would love for you to send me a clip of it clearly working. Because I don't know. Like, I've thought about 1T, but it's 10.
Yeah, I played a few Rivals games with it activated on Ovechkin, the gold 1T. And it's just like, you don't get the opportunities ever to make it
work. Especially when you're trying,
then,
when in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, I got to get this one time with Ovechkin. It just does not happen.
Yeah.
Like, but, dude, it's funny. Like,
the defense, what's that?
I was going to say, it's funny because, like, if you watch one of your games back, I'll be very clear with this. I got to the point last week where I was just so pissed off about losing games where I was clearly in control by one goal. I said, Kesso, I need you to take a look at this. You know, my whole channel is built on me telling you guys what to do. Sometimes you have to be self-aware and be like, I'm not seeing what I'm doing. So me and Kesso watched a game of mine back. And dude, I was taking a DDD one-timer every single rush. Which I did not realize that I was doing. I thought if you were to ask me how I was playing, I'm like, I just live behind the net, which was cool.
You said that to me. It was funny because I was like, hey, you're taking a lot of DDD one-timers. But you're like, yeah, I've just been trying to work the puck around. I think I only do it once or twice, but I've been living behind the net. And I'm like, you had zero behind the net.
And
like,
now when I play, and I actually had a really good weekend last week, and I was playing probably the best I had, I would literally just cycle down behind the net, like I was, because I was cognizant of it, and I was like, man, maybe I should just activate 1T and seeing eye, because like that's all I'm doing, and like maybe, like, you know, it's funny because like I think that if you know, so like for example, if you look at your lefties, I guarantee your left-handed players, guys, you'll score most of your goals with them and your wrist shots with them, like, so I'm wondering if like I don't have tape to tape on any of my left-handed wingers because I don't pass with them. Mm.
Yeah. Right?
So like things like that, if you really go through and look, you can probably min-max it and find out like the player set. But I agree with you, man. When you put it on one player and you're like, this is my trigger, man, it'll never happen because you're just going to force it. And more often than not, your opponent's like, this is just clearly what he's trying to do.
Yeah, that's why I don't mind it. I don't mind having those things on like the left-handed defenseman, just because like the D2Ds don't work with a right-handed shot shooting glove side, right? So like,
I don't think defenseman... I've seen one cleanly go in this year.
I've seen one or two, and that was like junior pens, and because he takes 50 a game, right? So like the defensemen, the left-handed defensemen specifically, are the only ones that actually get 4 to 5 plus chances a game with those shots, right? So like Hedman,
Hedman's the best card. Yeah, Hedman's the best card.
Hedman's the best card. There's going to be another left-handed card like that. It might be the Werenski with like the gold 1T, where you can force, those are the only cards you can force feed. You can't do that to a forward. They're on the ice 20 minutes a game. Defensemen, those two defensemen will be out there all the time. No matter what, you're always going to have the option to Hedman or Werenski, if you have them on your second pairing, where you have an elite one-timer option at the point.
I agree.
So if you put 15 to 20 points and you're like, no matter what, I always have this amazing one-timer as an option on the ice, I think that's more important than having like gold wheels on a player or something.
I think you're right, man. All right, let's see. You have some questions there.
I got two pulled up here. Let's see. And these were more comments, I guess. So Josh Epifanio, banger. It's so funny how us World of Chell guys are always complaining about how EA cares about Hutt because they make more money from packs there, and then they hear Hutt guys complaining how they only care about World of Chell because most of the player base is there.
I promise you, if you were in the Game Changer Discord and you saw the behind the scenes, you would be blown away at the amount of resources put into World of Shell compared to Hockey Ultimate Team. What I would recommend, if you really want proof, go and look and just load in to World of Shell from NHL 18, 19, 20, 21. Just go into the mode and then go into Hut, and you will see that Hut is exactly the same. Like, from NHL 19 to 21, all we've gotten is Hut Rush and minute changes to Rivals and Squad Battles, where you can refresh anytime you want. That is it. There is no innovation, which is a lot of the reason why we are burnt out and we complain so much. World of Chell, man, you guys get significant mode change, whether they're good or not. I'm not saying that it gets better, but it is different every year. You're playing a new game every year, and we just don't get anything, which is another reason why I'm so frustrated.
Yeah, it's funny how both sides feel that way.
You would assume that, like, okay, this is your money making mode, but they make more money. They make more money on game sales and the people that play World of Chell than Hockey Ultimate Team, which stuns a lot of people.
I think it would be true for other sports games, because Madden, you don't have an Ultimate Team mode. They had the Yard, I think it was called.
And it was like gimmicky, like an arcade.
Yeah. FIFA, I think there's squads, but it's like 11 on 11 or whatever. Like, that's harder to get than 6v6. So, like, hockey's the only one that has, like, that hardcore team-based
World of Shell is the best, like, well, other than NBA, but it's the best EA, like, I mean, it's the only, I mean, well...
Whenever I talk about sports games, I include, like, EA as its, like, own thing, you know, just because, like, they don't do basketball.
MLB doesn't have a World of Chell style game mode, right? Like, so it hyper focuses on that because it offers a unique experience in gaming. Like, World of Chell is a great mode, and it should be a very big focus, but Hut makes enough money probably where they don't feel the need to, like, significantly improve it, as opposed to World of Chell. They're like, oh, we got to make this better so people keep playing it, right? They keep buying the game, right? So that's the difference, man. Like I said, if you just go in and look over the last 4 years and then go look at Hut, you're going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's tough sometimes in discussions.
Something. How do you feel about recording this in the morning versus at night right now?
I like it because I know that my day has started. I'm not
that
tired.
That is nice.
The most, you know,
oh,
this,
dude, you're not.
The most, I had my coffee. Shout out King's Ghost.
By the way, though, people have complained for the past 19 episodes. This is called Coffee and Chell. We never drink a coffee. This is the first episode where we're drinking coffee.
What do you actually don't?
20 episodes.
That
Yeah,
fair enough. That's true, but you have to remember, we release this at like 8 a.m. It's Coffee and Chell for you guys. That's like the listeners, right? But yes, I agree. We haven't at all.
Yeah. I was surprised a lot of people, because like going through your comments for YouTube, you had mentioned at the end of the last episode, comment banger if you made it to the end. There was literally like 50
dude,
plus
you guys are great. Dude, the average view duration on this is like 30 minutes on like an hour and a half long video on YouTube. I mean, as a YouTuber, that's absurd. So on 3,000 views to get 30-minute average view time is absolutely nuts. So thank you, guys. I'm so into see how this video does, because it's the least NHL we talk.
This is like NHL is like 50%.
Please
maybe.
Let us know, boys, because we'll keep it. We'll know. You know what I mean? We like talking about our lives and stuff that's going on. And like behind the scenes, this is what we kind of wanted it to be eventually. But, you know, we know that you guys will want to talk Hut and NHL as a whole. So let us know. You know, we're not like, you know, we're very cognizant of how to improve our content.
Oh, for sure. Dude, I'm about to get into my most hated part of the week. So we're recording this Tuesday morning. I'm about to go to work in a few minutes after this. Then I have class from like 6:20 to 9:20 tonight.
Dude, those days.
I go to work again in the morning. Then I have to drive to class tomorrow night. So it's like the next 2 days are just awful.
That sucks, brother.
I can't stand it.
I got to play Rivals on a Tuesday.
I would rather do that. You get to talk to chat.
You
and
say
play
you
want to
do that in the Kevin 5. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that sounds great right now. I would rather do that than class or work.
I can feel that. That's why I at the end of the day, I have a smile on my face for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. But now most of the other comments were just, you know, comments and stuff. No, I didn't go through all 184 comments.
Is there 184?
There's 184 comments on that.
Oh my God, you guys are nuts, man.
But CMR just said, you guys are awesome. Just got home from the deployment. So, dude, congratulations. Thank you. Trying to catch up on Hut and watching all your videos. Appreciate the hard work you guys put in. Understand what it's like balancing your job with in life with a wife. So, dude, CMR, congrats on getting home. Thanks for watching, dude.
Absolutely, man. All right. Well, yeah, guys, we're going to just take comments and questions from YouTube now. So if you want, I think at some point we're going to switch over and put this on Kesso's YouTube channel. Wanted to try and make sure that we got it out to as much people as possible. And I got to say, Rare Drop just announced that we are the second most viewed podcast, listened to podcast on their network of podcasts. And you guys are doing crazy numbers in terms of downloads and listens. So we really appreciate it. This is, again, we just started this. I told Kesso I need a podcast because no other creator is doing a podcast for NHL. And Kesso said, yep. And I made him, you know, make sure that this was something we were going to do, and it's turned out really well.
Yeah, I remember you had told me that, and then like a day later, I called you, and I'm like, dude, why don't we just do this? Yep. You know, why don't we just like, let's just do it
every week.
Every Sunday night we record, no matter what. And I'm very proud of us this week for finding the
I mean, it's going to be a day late, but we did it, man. I woke up, we both, full disclosure, we don't wake up until about 7:38. Like, I usually wake up, my wife wakes up at 7 with Summer, and she starts work at 8. I usually go to bed at, like, 2, and I wake up at 8. Kesso here doesn't wake up till 7:40. So we both set our alarms and went downstairs and, you know.
Yeah, dude, I was secretly hoping, I'm not going to lie, you're going to say, like, hey, can we just do this tonight? Dude, I'm tired. I can just sit
there. My phone was dead. My phone was dead, and my wife's like, hey, you got to get up. And I was like, okay, charge my phone for a second because it's too lazy to put on the charger. And I'm like, maybe he forgot.
You thought the same thing. Yeah,
I turned
awesome.
My phone on. It's like 6:53. Like, all right, I'm ready. I'm like, oh, blast. Okay.
Oh, man.
All right, guys.
Well, good for us.
Well, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Again, this was a lot more focused on life and just a discussion as opposed to just clearly all about hockey, Ultimate Team, and NHL as a whole. Let us know in the feedback. Be honest. You know, if you didn't like it, please let us know. You know, we'll dial it back. If you did like it, let us know. And we'll be back next week, guys. So thank you for listening. And we'll see you then. Have a good one, fellas.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.